David introduces the concept of taping, also known as understanding your scripting.
I would like you to imagine that they are three tape recorders stacked up on top of another, and I'll draw a picture to show you that. Now, when you're born, at the age zero, the parent tape recorder turns on. We'll use zero to denote the moment of birth. And for approximately 6 years, this tape recorder runs. At the end of 6 years, it turns off. Now, it cannot be erased. You can learn how to turn that particular tape recorder off or on, just like the tape recorder we have over here. If Bruce wanted to, he can turn it off or he can turn it on. He can't erase it once it's on there. Now that it has an erase button. But we don't have that kind of button in our psyche. On this particular tape recorder, for the first 6 years of your life, all of your how-tos, like brush your teeth, don't run out in the street, and what I will call permissions, or the reverse of that, of course, is non-permission. All of the permissions that you have in life, all the how-tos that you learn in life are placed on that tape recorder, and that information generally comes from mother, father, or older authority figure in the house. All right, so now here, picture this. The first 6 years of your life, mother and father are giving you a lot of information. Now, there is a particular group in this room that have more information on that particular tape recorder than the rest of us, and I'll show you that group. Will the firstborns raise their hands? It's okay, I'm firstborn, no problem. Now, why do I say that? Because what generally happens to the firstborn is Heather firstborn? All right, let me tell you Heather's problem. What's your wife's name? Dale.
Jan.
All right, Dale and Jan had this little kid. Now what they're doing is they'll spend the first 6 years of Heather's life practicing to be parents. I mean, for instance, I'm sure that Jan right now is very interested in, or maybe just coming out of it, in Heather's toilet training. For instance, all the people in this room who were firstborn had what we call early toilet training. Mother and father, his mother especially, couldn't wait to run around the neighborhood and saying you were toilet trained. Yeah, you weren't toilet trained so that you would be comfortable. You were toilet trained so mother could be comfortable. It was a race. Everybody on the block had a kid. Now who's going to toilet train who first? You probably got snapshots of this kid? Yeah, when you have another one, they'll have less snapshots. Third one have less. Those of you who have more than one kid know that. When you get down to, who's a fifth or sixth born in here? Must have one of those. You're at the end of a long line of kids. What are you? Here's a happy guy. What are you? Here's a happy guy. I mean, the biggest problem, see, where Heather's having a problem keeping her parents happy. Don't do this, do that. These guys, the only thing they worried about was fighting for something to eat at the table. But nobody cared. Who cared? You know, I mean, we were busy. And so the real rules would be, the nice thing that could happen would be that if we were allowed to have a firstborn and then practice and then throw it away and get on with it. So the problem with firstborns, for instance, are they're generally very highly structured people. More structured than, say, these guys. Like they got to the table, it was okay. Didn't get to the table, it was okay. They got up on time, it was okay. Don't get up on time, it was okay. But firstborns are more highly structured. It doesn't make it good or bad. Doesn't mean you're less or more than someone else. It just means that your taping is probably stronger. Now, taping goes back 75 years and up 25. So Dale has his grandfather, and then his great grandfather, his great great grandfather, and then Jan's great 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 grandfather's, all that stuff. All gave him all this how-to permission information. Now, poor Heather is getting all this heaped on her. And so the point is that a lot of what you learn in the first 6 years, either verbally told to you or implied to you. See, mother doesn't necessarily have to tell you something. She can imply it. Has a very definite factor on how you will behave and operate when you grow up and get out into the world. I want to give you some illustrations as to how the taping works, just to kind of get you comfortable with it, show you that it does work. I'm going to say some one-liners. Now, these may or may not have occurred during the first 6 years, but you probably weren't thinking about them this morning. And I want to show you how automatically and instinctively people can react to taping. You fill in the blanks, I'll start the questions. Children should be seen and not...
Right.
Don't love too deeply, you may get. If at first you don't succeed, try and try. Pepsi Cola hits the 12 full ounces, that's a lot, twice as much for a
nickel.
Right. Now, that's been 19 years since you've heard that commercial. It was never on television. You can't get 12 ounces for a nickel anymore. You just go to a Coke machine and find out. Yet, and I'm sure you weren't whistling at coming here this morning, but automatically, instinctively, as I push some of those buttons, you could hear many of the people remember Pepsi Cola hits the spot. It's interesting that some people, even if you get a teenager around 17, 18, 19, they'll know the words. Maybe in the early years you were passing along and they were very young. To give you some other illustrations of how that works. Now, when we're in this room right now, for instance, there's maybe about 35 of us. In addition to that, I am also talking to 35 sets of parents. And you, of course, are talking to my mother and father. It's like the United Nations. We have this little circle right here, and then in back of you are your mother and father. Now, when I say things that are consistent with what they've taught you, you love me. Mother whispers in your ear, that's a nice kid up there. You know, it's okay to listen to him. When I say something that is inconsistent with what you've learned, there's a chance you're going to react and not like me. And depending how well we do in the beginning, is depending on how what kind of relationship we get started with. If you remember the example we had before from the fellow who says, look, I like to wear my hair long, and I walk in there with a guy, and he's got this crew cut, and he's 45 years old, and he's living in the Middle Ages. What's really happening there is that his mother and father are saying, this guy can't be okay, wears hair over his ears. His mother says, you better watch out for this guy, he's got a crew cut. And so what we're constantly dealing with all the time is my mother and father and your mother and father. I'll show you some examples of this. We have in this room, and we'll learn it at lunchtime, so I need some help because this is happening before lunch. There are several people in the room that know this. You know this. Think about it. You have a clean your plate tape. Now, clean your plate tape means that you absolutely go to all meals. Not only the fact that you're hungry, but you must clean your plate. You clean your plate. If you did not clean your plate, you would not clean it with a lot of guilt. Or we'd catch you back here tonight rummaging through the stuff looking for the food you left. Right? Could I have a couple of those guys that's brave enough to hold their hands up? Aye. And your name, sir?
Dave.
Did you have a clean your plate? How do you know that? Do you have children yet?
No.
All right. What? You sound like you're happy about that. It's okay to be happy about it.
I am now.
I don't understand. You were divorced.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. Now, you write down what to talk to you later. Put down unfinished. You write on your piece of paper so we don't forget unfinished business. Yeah, we have to deal with... Unfinished business has a lot to do with taping.
Can I get into that conversation when you talk to him?
You want to get in on it? Huh? Yeah, sure. What, are you going to get divorced?
No.
You've been divorced? Wait, what is it? You getting married? What kind of help you need? Oh, you got it. You got it. Yeah. Hey, maybe. Well, okay. Who was back here clean your plate? You a clean your plater, sir? You got children yet?
Nope.
All right. What is this? A bachelor's club? Who over here has got? You got children yet?
Frank, yes.
Well, go ahead, Frank. You a clean your plater?
Yeah.
How you know that, Frank?
Because I generally do.
Oh, generally.
I have to fight myself not to.
Oh, there's better guys than that around here. They don't generally do. They always do. Who's the? You got it. Okay.
Always do.
Oh, all right. You got children yet? Nope.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Are you teaching your kids to clean their plate?
He cleans it off.
That's how he learned. Oh, God. What a picture. All right, now, well, let's see. What's your first name, sir?
Frank.
All right, Frank, let's see. Let me see if I got it straight. I'll try to recover how you decided to clean your plate. You were 14 years old. You sat on a curb and you said something like, the one thing I'll do in life is clean my plate. Is that how it happened?
No.
How did it happen?
My folks do that. Taught me
to,
I'm sure.
Oh, you taught you to. They didn't say, hey, clean your plate. They just cleaned it.
They cleaned it.
Is your wife a clean your plater?
No.
How old your kid is? Must be very little, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, as the little kid grows up, you can see that he'll go to the dinner table and sometimes if he doesn't clean, who gives speeches at the dinner table? Somebody gives a clean your plate speech. No? Does somebody in here clean their plate, have kids, and when they're not clean, you say, don't you have kids in Europe starving? Don't you remember that one? How come they didn't wrap it up and send it to them? I don't understand. You know, the little kids in Europe are starving. You got to eat your food. I mean, the guilt.